No. If they say,
no,
you can simply explain what you just now explained to me. That is enough. Do not try to convince them. You can explain, but don't try to convince them, because there is a very important message of spirituality. You should never try to convince. You do your best in your own life. Practice your own truth. It is a vibration, contagion of itself, and will do the necessary. Because spirituality is a very delicate process. Different people approach the reality in different ways. There is not one way. So even avyabhicharini bhakti should be given to one who is fit for it. If you give to somebody who is not fit for it, it will create trouble for him. So we should not do it. We can only explain if anybody wants to ask. Explain. But you really do yourself inwardly your ananya bhakti or your avyabhicharini bhakti. Pardon?
Not much difference, ananya bhakti and avyabhicharini bhakti.
You may not, it's only sometimes people use one word with one meaning, another. Just now you explained. Ananya bhakti is only one Krishna you take, that is called ananya bhakti.
But they say no anya. That no is anya. Ananya.
That's right. So different people enter it differently. We should not enter into it. We should simply say my meaning is avyabhicharini bhakti, which means this. And according to my understanding, Sri Krishna speaks of that bhakti, in which knowledge, action and devotion are all united together, and then only you can enter into sadharma mukti.
That means that's the shallow meaning.
Different meanings. We don't even say shallow or whatever. Let everybody understand in his own way. We should not try to force our ideas or our own vocabulary upon others. If anybody asks you, you can see my vocabulary means this. But you can have your own vocabulary. Absolutely. We should not disturb anybody's shraddha. So, to come back to this 22nd and 23rd verse, the psychology is that a liberated yogi has minimum this. Sattva predominates, rajas and tamas do not press themselves. Sattva predominates, rajas and tamas do not press themselves, but they act under the control of the sattva. Ego does not exist, central ego does not exist, and inner state of consciousness either is witness, consciousness, complete inactivity, complete peace, union with the divine, play with the divine. This is the psychology of the liberated individual. Out of that arises the next possibility. That is going towards Paraprakriti. And these last six chapters are given to that task. How you enter into Paraprakriti and work as in the same law of action as the divine. Is it all right so far?
So these two, you say, are very important.
Very, extremely important.
Yes.
Yes, very important. This is the real point in the chapter. Very often when you read this chapter, people think it is simply an enumeration of sattva, rajas and tamas. Because 20 verses are only on that, and the last is not understood fully, so people try to neglect or ignore them. But they are the most important ones. So let us see now. Sri Krishna himself says that what is contained in this chapter is jnanam uttamam. He himself says, having explained what is kshetra, kshetragya, he now says, param bhuya pravakshami jnananam jnanam uttamam. He says, now I will tell you still further. Bhuya pravakshami. I'll tell you something still more. And I'll give you jnananam jnanam uttamam. I'll give you the highest knowledge among all knowledges. Yad gyatva munaya sarve param siddhim itaha gataha. Having known that the great munis have achieved param siddhim, the highest siddhi, highest accomplishment. And what is that highest accomplishment? In the second verse he explains, Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agataha. This is the most important statement he makes. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agataha. Having obtained this knowledge, they attain to my sadharma. They attain to the same law of action in which I am engaged. Sarge api na upajayante pralaya na vyathanti cha. They do not attain to the highest, or they do not really get worried even in the pralaya. They are so free. In all the conditions they are equal, because they are seated in the sadharma, in the paraprakriti. Now he explains this. What is sadharmya? Where is the origin of sadharmya? So he answers, mama yonihi mahat brahma tasmin garbham dadamyaham. Now there is a word used, mahat. And we shall stop here for a moment, because it's a very important word. Mahat, and then says Brahma Mahat. If you read the Sankhya philosophy to which we have made a reference, you find the mention of Mahat in that philosophy. According to Sankhya philosophy, Prakriti manifests, unfolds itself by the glance of Purusha. Purusha glances at Prakriti and Prakriti begins to unfold. The first thing that manifests is Mahat, but defines it as Buddhi. He says that Mahat is Buddhi. So first evolution is the evolution of Buddhi or Mahat.